بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our 10th session, reading from lessons in Arabic language, book 3, level 3, Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim, Islamic University of Medina. And today we hope, by the permission of Allah, to complete lesson 3, which we started several weeks ago. I think in the first week we only covered the English key. And in the second week we covered the lengthy dialogue. And last week we started the exercises, and hopefully this week, inshallah, we'll complete them. So the exercise we want to start with today, without any delay, is exercise number 10, which is where we stopped last week. And the instruction for exercise number 10 on page 36, exercise number 10, page 36, lesson 3, استخرج من الدرس الأفعال المبنية للمجهول. يعني extract from the lesson, from the dialogue, the text at the beginning of lesson 3 on page, starting on page 28, extract from the lesson الأفعال المبنية للمجهول, يعني the verbs that are structured to be used with the فاعل that is مجهول, that is unknown or unmentioned. So the first thing is to derive or to extract from the lesson all of those verbs that are مبنية للمجهول. واذكر نائبة فاعلا كل واحد منها, and mention the naib fa'il for each one of those verbs that are mabniun lil majhul. So two things: we have to identify each verb that's mabniun lil majhul, and secondly, we have to mention what is the naib fa'il for that verb. So let us just briefly remind ourselves that the two types of verbs that we're looking at here is the verb that the fi'l mabni lil ma'loom, that's structured to be used with the fa'il that is ma'loom, that is known or mentioned. And that's the normal verb that we have been dealing with previously. The second type of verb is what we're looking at in this lesson, the verb that is mabni lil majhool, the verb that is structured to be used with the fa'il, the subject, the doer of the action, that is unknown or unmentioned. And we said previously that in the regular sentence, مَبْنِيٌ لِلْمَعْلُومِ, you have a fi'l fa'il and a maf'ulun bi. The fi'l, the fa'il, do of the action, and the maf'ulun bi, the object of the action. So if we want to restructure that verb so that we're going to use it in a sentence where the fa'il is not going to be mentioned, then the maf'ulun bi now takes the place of the fa'il, and the maf'ulun bi, instead of now, instead of being mansub as it is in the original sentence, becomes in the place of the fa'il, becomes marfu'un. So the structure of the verb changes in terms of its voweling to the first letter taking dhamma and the second letter taking kasra, so it becomes dhamma kasra. So for example, kataba becomes kutiba, and jalasa becomes julisa. And in the mudari, the voweling changes to dhamma and fatha. In the past tense, dhamma and kasra. In the present tense, dhamma and fatha. So kataba yaktubu, yaktubu becomes yuktabu, and jalasa yajlisu becomes yujlasu, dhamma fatha. The fa'il is removed in this situation. The maf'ulun bi takes its place and takes its ruling of being marfu'un. And two notes that we need to keep in mind: if the verb originally is being used with a fa'il that's mudhakkar, masculine, and the maf'ulun bi is feminine, when the maf'ulun bi becomes naib fa'il, the verb has to be changed to feminine form, in consideration that the naib fa'il is feminine. And secondly, if the maf'ulun bi is a pronoun, if it's a dhamir, as the maf'ulun bi in the place where it should be mansub, when it becomes the na'ib-fa'il, we have to use a raf pronoun, a pronoun that is in the place where it should be marfu'un. So those are two notes that we're going to keep in mind as we go into this exercise number 10. Lesson number 3, exercise number 10 on page 36 requires us to extract from the dialogue in the beginning of the lesson all verbs that are mabni lil majhul and to mention where is the naib fa'il. Is the naib fa'il a clear noun or is it a pronoun? And we have to identify that. Okay, so there are more than 20 something examples of verbs in this lesson that are mabniun lil majhul. We're going to try to identify all of them if possible, or as many as possible, and we're going to also acknowledge that some of them are just repetitious. Some of them are repeated again and again and again. So we're not going to spend too much time with the repetitions, except where we have to identify the naib fa'il, which may be a different naib fa'il. Alright? So we're going to start by reading the dialogue. Okay, what I have done, I have numbered each page. Each line, I've numbered them. So on the first page, there are 17 lines. So I'm going to try to keep track of where I'm at by those numbers. I numbered each line from 1 through 17. On the second page, there are 19 lines. So I numbered them on page 29, 1 through 19. And on the third page, 30, there are 18 lines. I numbered them 1 through 18. And on the last page, there are only 3 lines. So I numbered them 1 through 3. So the numbers that I'm using are not in the lesson. I have just numbered each line for myself to keep track of where I'm at. Alright, so we're starting on page 28. The dialogue at the beginning of lesson 3 begins with the teacher saying, لِمَا تَأَخَّرْتُمْ يَا إِخْوَانُ. In the second line, as Zubair says, لِأَنَّ الْمَطَعَمَ فُتِحَ الْيَوْمَ مُتَأَخِّرًا. And we were delayed because the mat'am was opened today late. The word here that's مَبْنِيٌ لِلْمَجْهُولِ the fi'l is فُتِحَ. Futiha is mabniun lil majhul. You see it has dhamma, kasra, and the naib fa'il in this case is damir mustatir. Is damir mustatir taqdiruhu huwa. Huwa is referring back to the mat'am. Okay, so in the second, in the third person, masculine and feminine singular forms of the verb, it's going to be in the past tense, it's going to be damir mustatir. In the third person, masculine and feminine singular forms of the past tense verb, the naib fa'il is going to be always damir mustatir. Taqdiruhu huwa or hiya. In the mudari verb, there are 5 cases in which it's going to be damir mustatir, and we'll see them as they come. So, the first example is in line 2. لِأَنَّ الْمَطْعَمْ فُتِحَ مَبْنِيٌ لِلْمَجْهُولِ naib fa'il damir mustatir taqdiruhu huwa, referring back to al-mat'am. In the third line, we have the same word repeated again. يَعْنِي مَتَى فُتِحَ. And again, the naib fa'il is damir mustatir. In the fourth line, we have Zubair saying, Futiha as-sa'ata as-sadisata. And again, Futiha is mabniun lil majhul. And the naib fa'il is damir mustatir, taqdiruhu huwa, referring back to mat'am. In the fifth line, we have a mudari verb, Mata yuftahu kulli yawmin. So yuftahu is the fi'il that's mabniun lil majhul. And the naib fa'il is damir mustatir taqdiruhu huwa. Yani huwa referring back to the mat'am. It was, when is it opened every day? Yani meaning the mat'am. In the sixth line, Jabir says, yuftahu as-sa'ata as-sadisata illa rub'an. And again, the same verb is mabniun lil majhul, muftah, yuftahu, and the naib fa'il is damir mustatir. In the seventh line, we don't have anything. In the eighth line, we have Idris saying, Suriqa kitabi ya ustadhu. Suriqa is mabniun lil majhul. You see it has dhamma, kasra. That's the pattern for the past tense. Mabniun lil majhul has dhamma, kasra. Suriqa. The naib fa'il here is kitab, kitabi. The naib fa'il is kitab. Yani what was stolen? My book. In the ninth line, the teacher uses the same verb, suriqa, kitabuka, and yani it's the same verb mabni lil majhul, except that the naib fa'il here is kitabu, yani kitabuka, kitabuka, your book. In the 10th line, Idris is saying suriqa al-barihata, and at the end of that line, suriqat ma'ahu ashya'u. So in the first one, suriqa, the naib fa'il is damir mustatir taqdiruhu huwa, referring back to the book.
And in the same line in the end, suriqat ma'hu ashya. Suriqat is mabniun lil majhul. It's a feminine form because the naib fa'il is ashya'u. Ashya'u is a naib fa'il. And even though shay is masculine, and here it's a plural, but it's a ghayru aql plural. And ghayru aql plurals are treated as though they are feminine singular. So we have the feminine form of the verb suriqat. And whenever the naib fa'il is feminine or a ghayru aql plural, which is treated as though it's feminine, then the verb has to reflect that femininity in changing its form from suriqa to suriqat. In the 11th line, there's nothing. The 12th line, there's nothing. In the 13th line, we have the end of what the teacher is saying. MC, fi ayyi shahrin wulida Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, MC is the end of the previous sentence from 12. And here in this line 13, we have fi ayyi shahrin wulida Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So wulida is dhamma kasra, mabniun lil majhul. And the naib fa'il is rasulu. Yani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naib fa'il is marfu'un with dhamma. Yani if the naib fa'il is a clear noun, then we should see yani the indication of it being marfu'un. Primary sign being dhamma. In the 14th line, we have the same repeated wulida. Same thing, naib fa'il, damir mustat. In this case, the naib fa'il is damir mustatir, referring back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the 15th line, again, we have وَفِي أَيِّ سَنَةٍ وُلِدَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَا جَابِرْ. And again, وُلِدَ is مَبْنِينَ لِلْمَجْهُولِ. The naib fa'il is damir mustatir takdiruhu huwa. Again, huwa referring back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the last two lines, 16 and 17, we don't have any verb مَبْنِينَ لِلْمَجْهُولِ. Turning to page 29, the first line on the top of page 29 is Jabir saying, Bala, darasnahu, walakinnani nasitu. There's nothing in that line, nor in the second line. In the third line of page 29, we have Idris saying, Wulida, sallallahu alayhi wa sallama, ama sabaina, wa khamsimiyatin lil miladi. And again, the verb Wulida is mabni lil majhul. And again, the naib fa'il is damir. Mustatir, the hidden pronoun that is understood to be huwa, referring back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fourth line of page 29, the teacher is saying hadha sahihun fi ayyi amin wulidta anta ya idrisu. Yani this is correct, and in which year were you born, you O Idris? Here the verb that's mabni lil majhul is wulidta, wulidta. And the naib fa'il is the pronoun, ta. Ta is the naib fa'il, yani it's a pronoun of raf, as the naib fa'il is, yani should be in the case where it's marfu'un. So this is a pronoun of raf here, and this is ta al-mukhatab, the ta that indicates the second person masculine singular, anta, wulidta. The ta here is the naib fa'il. In the fifth line, Idris is saying wulidtu. He's saying when he was born, wulidtu ama khamsatin wa thamanina wa thalathimiyatin wa alfin lil hijrati. And again, wulidta is mabniin lil majhul. The naib fa'il is the pronoun tu. The ta here is the naib fa'il. Yani it's a damir raf because it is in the place where it should be marfu'un as naib fa'il. In the sixth line, the teacher is saying, wa fi ayyi amin wulidta anta ya Ahmed. Same exact thing here, except that wulidta, in wulidta, the naib fa'il is the ta, that is, the ta, yani, I don't know if I mentioned, I don't think I mentioned in line 5, wulidtu, the ta is ta, yani the tu here is ta al-mutakallim, the ta represents the first person singular ana, yani wulidtu ana, I was born in the year. And in line 6, fi ayyi amin wulidta, again we go back to yani the naib fa'il being the ta, which is the second person masculine singular corresponding to anta, ta al mukhatab. In the seventh line we have Ahmed saying wulidtu ama sab'atin وستين وتسعمية وألف للميلاد. And the verb ولدتو is the verb that's مبني للمجهول. The تو, the pronoun in ولدتو, the pronoun تو is the نائب فاعل, دمير of رف, a pronoun in the place where it should be مرفون, and it corresponds to أنا, يعني تا المتكلم. In the eighth line, the teacher is saying أين ولدت يا أحمد, and again we have يعني the تا here is the نائب فاعل, دمير رف, يعني تا المخاطب, يعني representing the second person, masculine singular أنت. In the ninth line, Ahmed is saying ولدتو. We had the same thing we had in line 7. ولدتو تو is the نائب فاعل, يعني representing تا المتكلم, يعني corresponding to أنا. And in the 10th line, we don't have anything. 11th line, we don't have anything. 12th line, we don't have anything. 13th line, we have يعني قتل, قتل and يقتل. Both of them are مبني للمجهول, past tense and present tense. يعني in the past tense, you have ضم كسر, in the present tense, you have ضم فتح in terms of the pattern of the vowels. And the نائب فاعل in each of them is دمير مستطير, يعني corresponding or representing or تقديره هو. In the, that's 13. In the 14th line, we have يُحذَفُ, a مُضَارِ verb, يعني with ضمّ فتح. It's مبني للمجهول, and the نائب فاعل is الفاعل, the word الفاعل. And the same thing we have, يعني at the end of that line 14, وَيُحَلُّ الْمَفْعُولُ بِهِ. يُحَلُّ is نائب, I mean is مبني للمجهول. نائب فاعل is المفعول. In the 15th line, we have محله ويسمى. We have the word يسمى, which is مبني للمجهول, ضم فتح. يسمى means it is named or it is called, نائب فاعل. And the نائب فاعل for the verb يسمى is دمير مستطير تقديره هو, يعني referring back to the يعني the مفعول به that became نائب فاعل. يسمى here now it became, when it takes the place of the فاعل, يعني the نائب, the مفعول به takes the place of the فاعل, it is now called يسمى نائب فاعل. So the يسمى is مبني للمجهول, and the نائب فاعل is the hidden pronoun, دمير مستطير تقديره هو. In the 16th line, we have قتل الجاسوس. And this is an example explaining the verb that's مبني للمجهول. This is an example, قتل الجاسوس. قتل is the verb that's مبني للمجهول, and الجاسوس is نائب فاعل مرفون with ضمة. In the 17th line, you have يسمع الأذان بوضوح. And يسمع is مبني للمجهول, مضارع verb, so it has ضمة فتحة, vowelling. And الأذان is نائب فاعل مرفون with ضمة. We don't have anything in line 18 and line 19, so we turn to page 30. On page 30, on the top of the page, the first line on page 30, we have Muawiyah saying خلق الإنسان من طين. خلق is مبني للمجهول, and الإنسان is نائب فاعل مرفون with ضمة. Nothing in the second line. In the third line, we have قتل عمر رضي الله عنه وهو يصلي بالناس في المسجد النبوي. And here قتل is the مبني للمجهول verb, يعني with ضم كسر vowelling in the past tense. And عمر رضي الله عنه, عمر is نائب فاعل مرفون with ضم. Nothing in the fourth line. In the fifth line, we have the مضارع verb يقتل الآلاف, or يقتل آلاف without ألف لام, من الناس في الحروب. And the verb that's مبني للمجهول here is يقتلو, ضمة فتح vowelling. And آلاف is نائب فاعل مرفون with ضمة. Nothing in the sixth line or the seventh line. Only one word in the seventh line, مؤنثا. In the eighth line, we have جابر saying تقرأ سورة الفاتحة في كل ركعة. تقرأ is مبني للمجهول, مضارع verb, vowelling, ضمة فتحة. سورة is نائب فاعل مرفوع with ضمة, and الفاتحة is مضاف إليه مجرور with كسرة. nothing in the ninth line or the tenth line. In the 11th line, we have the 11th line starting with the words duni, duni lahi, la yakhluquna shay'an. Yani it's an ayah. Walladhina yada'una min duni lahi, la yakhluquna shay'an. Wahum yukhlaqoon. From Surah Nahl, 16th Surah, 20th ayah. In this 11th line, we have at the end of the ayat, yukhlaqoon. This is a mudari verb, mabniun al majhul, with the voweling, dhamma, fatha, yukhlaqoon. Naib fa'il here is the pronoun, waw al jama'a. The pronoun, waw al jama'a. Remember we said that when the naib fa'il is a pronoun, when the maf'ulun bi is a pronoun, then yani when it becomes a naib fa'il, we have to use the raf form. So this is a pronoun, waw al jama'a is a pronoun that's in the position where it should be marfu'un as the naib fa'il. Nothing in line 12 or 13. In line 14, Az-Zubayr is saying, yumkinuni insha'Allah, qala sallallahu alayhi wasallam, la yuldagu al-mu'minu من جهر واحد مرتين رواه البخاري ومسلم. In line 14 we have the beginning of that hadith, لا يلدغ. لا يلدغ يعني مضارع verb with the voweling of ضم فتح مبني للمجهول. نائب فاعل is المؤمن مرفوع with ضم. Nothing in line 15, 16, 17 or 18. And then, so we turn to the last page, page 31, only has three lines. In the first of those three lines, Al-Hussein is saying, لا يسمع صوت الجرس في فصلنا هذا. يعني, the sound of the bell is not heard in this classroom of ours. The verb, the mudari verb, يسمع with dhamma fatha voweling, is مبني للمجهول, and the naib fa'il, yani that which is not heard is the saut, the sound. Sautu is naib fa'il marfu'un with dhamma. So this is what I was able to identify in terms of yani the verbs that are mabniun lil majhul, past tense or present tense, in the dialogue on those pages starting on page 28. This is exercise number 10, identifying or extracting from the dars all the verbs that are mabniun lil majhul and mentioning the naib fa'il for each one of them. Okay, so this exercise is where we stopped last week. We had a little bit of time, but I don't think we could have finished all of this, and that's why we postponed it until this week. Next exercise is just an oral exercise. It reads, the instruction reads, yuwajjihu al-mudarrisu. Yani this is from the verb wajjaha, to direct. وَجَّهَا يُوَجِّهُ الْمُدَرِّسُ. The teacher directs, إِلَى كُلِّ طَالِبٍ, to each student, هَذَا السُّؤَالَ, this question. The teacher asks each student, فِي أَيِّ آمٍ وُلِدْتَ, in which year were you born? فَيُجِيبُ الطَّالِبُ, so the student, each student, when asked this question, will answer, will respond, قَائِلًا, saying, وُلِدْتُ آمَ كَذَا لِلْهِجْرَةِ Walil Miladi. I was born in the year of such and such, of the Hijra calendar or of the Christian calendar. Badian. Yani when he mentions the date that he was born, Walitu Ama Kada, yani the number of his, the year of his birth, Badian, he should begin Bil Adadi Al Adna, with a lower number. So for example, if a person was born in 1988, they should begin with 8 and then 80 and then 900 and then 1,000. This is the preferable manner of mentioning numbers, beginning with the units, the tens, the hundreds, and then thousands. So each student is asked, يعني في أي عام ولدت, and the student will answer, ولدت عام خمسين وتسعمية وألف للميلاد, or whatever year they were born in. يعني I mentioned, ولدت عام خمسين وتسعمية, 50 and 900, wa alfin and 1,000 lil miladi, yani the year 1950, the Christian era. This is exercise number 12. This is exercise number That was exercise number 11. I'm sorry. Exercise number 12 is on the bottom of page 36 before we turn the page. Exercise number 12 says, تُحْذَفُ الْأَلِفُ وَاللَّامُ مِنَ الْعَلَمِ الْمُقْتَرِنِ بِهِمَا عِنْدَ النِّدَاءِ. تُحْذَفُ الْأَلِفُ وَاللَّامُ. Yani the alif and lam, the definite article, alif, lam, l, is, yani, omitted. تُحْذَفُ, it is deleted. مِنَ الْعَالَمِ, from the proper noun, name of a person or place, from the proper noun, الْمُقْتَرِنِ بِهِمَا. The proper noun that has attached to them, alif, lam. Yani a proper noun, if it has attached to it, alif, lam, when it becomes the munada, in the nida, when it becomes the munada, the alif lam is omitted or deleted from it. For example, al-hasanu. If al-hasanu is the munada, the alif lam that is attached to it, in the nida, yani at the time of it being the munada, is omitted. تُحْذَفُ الْأَلِفُ وَاللَّامُ مِنَ الْعَالَمِ الْمُقْتَرِنَ بِهِمَا عِنْدَ النِّدَى. So, al-hasanu after the ya nida becomes ya hasanu without alif lam. If we turn the page to page 37, we see the instruction nadi al-a'lama al-atiyata. Yani nadi the following proper nouns, make them the munada. Use ya and nida before the following proper nouns. These are all proper nouns that have attached to them alif lam. When they become the munada, they lose the alif lam. Nadi means make the following proper nouns the munada. Ij'alha al-munadi. So, al-hasanu, if you wanted to call al-hasan, you say ya hasanu. Al-Zubayru, if you wanted to call him, you say ya Zubayru without alif lam. Al-Harithu becomes ya Harithu, and Al-Bara becomes ya Bara'u. Alright, so the point here is what? The proper nouns that have alif lam, after ya Nida, they lose their alif lam. Exercise number 13, also a brief exercise. Some of these exercises are very brief, and some of them are just information that you don't have to actually do anything. So, exercise number 13, an-nasab. Yani, an-nasab is ascription or attribution. Ascribing something to a certain place or profession or occupation and so on. An-nasabu. An-nasabu, it says, ilhaqu ya'in mushaddadatin. Ya al-mushaddada. Yani the ya with shadda, connecting it or joining it or attaching it, fi akhiri al-ism, to the end of a word, litadulla ala nisbatihi, to indicate or to appoint, to indicate or to point out, to point to its ascription or attribution to a place or to a particular occupation or profession or science or something like this. So, an-nasab is what? Attaching a ya with shadda to the end of a word to indicate or to point out its attribution or its ascription to something particular. For example, al-hindu, if you want to say something is from al-hind, from India, you call it hindiyun. Yani that means it is Indian. Indian clothing, Indian food, and so on. Something from that is ascribed to or attributed to al-Iraq, you say Iraqiyun. Yani attaching ya with shadda to the end of the word to point to its ascription to that particular place or profession or occupation or science or study or whatever. After these two examples, al-Hindu, Hindiyun, and al-Iraq, Iraqiyun, it says, unsub ila al-asma'al atiya. Yani, the following nouns, they want you to put them in the mansub form. Yani, in the form of ascription, ascribing to a particular place or profession or occupation or science and so on. Okay, unsub means put them in the mansub form. And mansub is with seen, not with sad. It's not the mansub with sad that means yani that something is in the accusative case. Here this mansub is with seen, it means ascription or attribution. So they gave us some nouns and they want us to put them in the mansub form. So as Sudan, something that's ascribed to, attributed to Sudan is called Sudaniyun. Yani thawbun Sudaniyun, a Sudanese garment, for example. Going across, something ascribed to Al-Kuwaitu is Kuwaitiyun. Next line, Al-Yaban. Al-Yabanu, something that's ascribed to Japan, is Yabaniyun. Yani Japanese food or Japanese car. Yabaniyun. If it's feminine, Yabaniyatun. Going across, Ad-Dinu, yani the deen, the religion. If something you're saying it is religious, for example, religious studies, or a religious book, then you say diniyun, diniyun, that it is something related to deen, religious. Going down, an-nahu, yani grammar. So something that's related to the science or the study of grammar, yani you say nahwiyun, yani a person who is ascribed to the science or the study of nahu is a grammarian, or something that's yani a topic related to grammar is something that is grammatical. Nahwiyun. Going across, at-tarikhu, yani history, something that is related to history, that it's historical, a historical book or historical document, you say tarikhiyun. Tarikhiyun. Yani historical. Going down, an-nabiyyu, the prophet, something related to the prophet, you say Nabawiyun. Nabawiyun, prophetic or pertaining to the prophet. And al-akh, something related to a brother. And you say something is brotherly or fraternal. You say akhawiyun. Yani a gathering, a brotherly gathering. Yani gathering of a fraternal gathering. You say akhawiyun. Okay, so these are examples of words that are have the ya with shadda on the end of them, that is an indication or that points to attribution or ascription. Exercise number 14 takes us back to the dialogue at the beginning of the lesson on page 28. There's not a lot of examples, but there are just a few, so we'll look at it quickly. Exercise number 14, page 37, lesson number 3, says, Istakhrij min ad-darsi amthilatan lin-nasabi. Yani, extract from the lesson, from the dialogue, examples of an-nasab, of attribution or ascription. So, as far as I can see, there are no examples on the first page 28. So we go to page 29. And again, just for the sake of any ease in finding the position, I have numbered all of the lines, every line on each page. On page 29, I have numbered from 1 through 19, so I'm going to go straight down to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Line 10, where the mudarris says, Anta idhan Pakistaniyun. And he had asked Ahmed, where was he born? He said, Wulitu fi Pakistan. The teacher says, Anta idhan Pakistaniyun. Therefore, you are a Pakistani. Yani attribution to the country Pakistan. In the next line, 11, the teacher, after he says, you are a Pakistani then, he says, listen, O brothers, I will explain for you. Yani ashrahu al-ana qa'idatan nahwiyatan muhimmatan. I will explain to you a very important grammatical principle. Hear the word, yani qa'idatan nahwiyatan muhimmatan, important grammatical principle. Nahwiyya is an ascription to nahu, yani grammar. So the nasab form would be nahwiyun with shadda on the ya attached to it. But since it is an adjective describing qa'ida, which is feminine, so the feminine form of nahwiyun became nahwiyatun. Or in this case, because it's yani mansub, nahwiyatan. Alright, so the nasab form originally from nahwu is nahwiyun, feminine form nahwiyya. Those are two examples on page 29. On page 30 we also have a couple of examples, and no examples on page 31, so we just look at quickly the examples on page 30. Again, I have numbered the lines on page 30 from 1 through 18. We're going to go straight to line number 3, where Idris says, قُتِلَ عُمَرُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَهُوَ يُصَلِّي بِالنَّاسِ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ النَّبَوِيِّ. Here the word النَّبَوِيِّ is a nasab form, yani ascribing that masjid to النَّبِي, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. النَّبَوِي, yani something that is prophetical or ascribed to the Prophet, the Prophet's masjid. In line 4 there's nothing. And 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. In line 12 we have another nasab form where the mudarris says, أحسنت يا حسن أيمكنك أن تذكر حديثا نبويا يحوي فعلا مبنيا للمجهول يا زبير. Teacher, here uses at the end of line 12, حديثا نبويا. Here again is a nasab form, yani ascription of this hadith, ascribing it to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. حديثا نبويا, a prophetic hadith. Yani from Nabi, the nasab form is نبي. And here because it's mansub, نبيا, with شدة on the ya at the end, attached to the end of the word. Then we have, going down, that's on line 12, on 13, 14, line 15, the end of the hadith, wahidin marratain, yani the hadith in which it's reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, la yuldagu al-mu'minu min juhrin wahidin marrataini, rawahu al-bukhariyu wa muslim. The word al-bukhari is an inscription to the place Bukhara. Bukhara, yani ascribing that person, he's from Bukhara. Like an American is yani ascribed to America, you say Amriki. Person from Saudi Arabia, ascribed to Saudi Arabia, you say Saudi. Person from Bukhara, you say Bukhari. So the great scholar of hadith, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail, Al-Bukhari, yani this name Al-Bukhari is a nasab form attributing him to the place Bukhara. So these are the places where I found nasab forms in the dialogue. This was exercise number 14. استخرج من الضعف درس أمثلة للنسبي. After this, exercise number 15 is just yani a point yani of information. There's no work to do here, just reading and understanding. Point number 15 on page 37 says أخرو. The word أخرو is جمعو أخرى. It's the plural of أخرى, which means another. يعني أخرى is the feminine of آخر, another. آخر with فتح, not يعني آخر. آخر means another. Its feminine form is أخرى. The plural of its feminine form is أخر with a single ضمة, because it is ممنوع من الصرف. هو ممنوعة من الصرف. يعني the word أخر, the plural of أخرى, here, yani this kalima, is ممنوعة من الصرف. It's a diptote, so it doesn't take tanween. قال الله تعالى, then we get an example of this word being used in the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 184th ayat, saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بعد أعوذ من الشيطان الرجيم, فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخرى. So whoever from amongst you was sick, ill, or on a journey, فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخْرَى, then a number from the days, from other days, meaning that they make up the fast that they missed while they were traveling or sick, they make them up from a number of other days, أَيَّامٍ أُخْرَى. So here we say ayamin is the plural of yawm, which is masculine, but the plural form, because it's the plural of a ghayru aqil noun, we treat it as though it's feminine. We treat it as though it is feminine. So we say min ayamin ukhara, ukhara, yani the feminine form, feminine plural form of ukhra. That's all it is to exercise number 15, just understanding that ukharu is the plural of ukhra. Number 16 also doesn't require you to do anything except to read. It says ta'ammal ma yali, just reflect upon, contemplate, consider, study, examine carefully what follows. So this is in reference to the word yani yastati'u, yani from the past tense verb istata'a, present tense yastati'u. This came in the lesson. So what is happening here is we're just getting introduction to this type of verb which we haven't yet studied. يستطيعوا يعني هو يستطيع هي تستطيع with ta as the prefix letter, مضارع letter. أستطيع أنا يعني first person singular أستطيع, we could add to that the plural نستطيع نحن يعني هو يستطيع أنت وهي تستطيع أنا أستطيع. And I just added نَحْنُ نَسْتَطِيعُ. And then they give us some sentences with this verb in it so we can see its use in context. So what we should have done with this exercise is just kind of pay attention to study this word, how it's used, and understand its form until we look at it in detail. Number one, we're on the bottom of page 37, exercise number 16. We're reflecting, contemplating, examining carefully the use of the verb استطاع يستطيعوا. Number one, من يستطيع أن يكتب الدرس على السبورة بخط واضح. Who? The teacher is saying, for example, من يستطيع, who is able, the verb means to be able, to be able to do something. من يستطيع, who is able, أن يكتب الدرس, to write the lesson, على السبورة, on the writing board, بِخَطٍ وَاضِحٍ, with a clear handwriting. Second sentence, أَتَسْتَطِيعُ, يعني أنت, second person, masculine, singular, أَتَسْتَطِيعُ أَن تَسُوقَ شَاهِنَةً يَا زُبَيْرُ. Are you able to drive, تَسُوقُ, are you able to drive a truck, a شَاهِنَة, O Zubair? Again, the verb here is in the second person, masculine singular, أنت تستطيع. Sentence number three, we're going to see the verb in the first person singular form, أستطيع. هذه الرسالة بخط رديء. This رسالة, this letter, is written with خط رديء, with poor, يعني penmanship. Not good, poor penmanship. لا أستطيع, I am not able. أن أقرأها, I'm not able to read it. أتستطيع أن تقرأها أنت يا براء. Are you able, أنت, أتستطيع أن تقرأها, to read it, are you able to read it, أنت, يعني for emphasis, يا براء, يعني أنت here is for emphasis because the verb already indicates second person, masculine singular, تقرأ. The last example of the use of this verb يستطيع is on the next page, page 38. Now, page 38, sentence number 4, أتستطيعين أن تغسلي هذه الملابس اليوم يا ليلى. Here this form of the verb is the second person feminine singular, يعني أنت, corresponding to أنت. أتستطيعين أن تغسلي هذه الملابس اليوم يا ليلى. Oh ليلى, are you able to wash these clothing, يعني هذه الملابس, today, O Layla. Let me just note here that the verb form tagsili is originally tagsilina, like tastati'ina, second person feminine singular, ya al-mukhataba, the second person feminine singular form of the verb, but because it is mansub from n and tagsili, so the noon is deleted as a sign that it's mansub. Originally it's tagsilina, but the sign that it's mansub is hadf and noon, the omission of the noon. So in this form of the verb, we said that these af'al al-khamsa, five forms of the verb that end with this extra noon, we said that the sign of it being marfoon is the presence of the noon, thubuta noon, and the sign of it being mansub or majzoom is the omission of the noon. So here we see atastati'ina, the noon is present, that means that tastati'ina is a marfoon form of the mudari verb, and tagsili is a yani mansub form. It's mansub because of n. Okay, let's go on to the next exercise, which also doesn't require you to do anything. It's just reflection, like a previous exercise. Examine carefully, study, contemplate over ta'ammal ma yali. This is in reference to the use of the word, the verb salla. Salla yusalli. So this exercise 17 is just for us to become familiar, introduction to the verb Salla, which is from the second form of verbs, yani of letters of increase, yani fa'ala, like allama, yu'allimu. Okay, except that the last letter you see at the end, yani, is alif maksura. Okay, so salla is the past tense form, madi. Yusalli is the present tense form, and salli with a short kasra, short vowel kasra, salli is the fi'l amr. Salla, yani he performed prayer, past tense. Yusalli, he is performing prayer, present tense. And salli means perform prayer. So they give us five sentences with this verb that we're being introduced to here, and we haven't seen this form yet, but we will be seeing it before the end of this course. Yani the second form of the verb, yani fa'ala, which is with one letter of increase, yani the doubling of the middle radical, like allama yu'allimu, or like darrasa yudarrisu. And here we have salla yusalli. Okay, so the first sentence which we should be reading, translating, and also examining the form of this verb, salla, asallayta. Yani the alif maksura becomes ya. Whenever a suffix is added to a word that ends with alif maksura, it becomes ya. Or it may become alif mamduda. In this case, on the verb, it becomes ya. Asallayta al-dhuhra, ya Husaynu. Have you performed the dhuhr salat, O Husayn? So here we see the verb salla, when the ta is attached to it, sallayta. So you say sallaytu, sallayta, sallayti, and so on. Did you perform the dhuhr prayer, O Husayn? Number two, sallaytu. Again, the alif maksur becomes ya here. Sallaytu fil masjidi al-harami. Wa fi al-masjidi al-nabawiyyi al-sharifi. وأحب أن أصلي في المسجد الأقصى بإذن الله بإذن الله. يعني the meaning of this sentence, صليت, I performed prayer في المسجد الحرام, in the sacred masjid of Mecca, وفي المسجد النبوي الشريف, and in the noble masjid of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in Medina. وأحب أن أصلي, and I would love to perform prayer fil masjid al-aqsa, in the aqsa masjid bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, by the permission of Allah. Here I just want to note that the verb usalli here ends with fatha, usalliya here, because it's mansub by the particle n, n usalliya. The third sentence, salli bina ya shaykhu. This is the fi'l amr form, salli, with just a short vowel kasra, salli bina. And this verb is used with the preposition be to indicate the one who is performing the prayer is performing the prayer as the Imam. Salli bina means lead us in prayer. Ya Shaykh. Yani, perform the prayer as our Imam. Number four, la tusalli. La tusalli al-fara'idha fil bayti. Do not perform the obligatory prayers, al-fara'id. Do not perform the obligatory prayers in the home. Yani, that's for men. Men should perform the obligatory prayers in congregation in the masjid. La tusalli. Here, the original form of this verb from salla yusalli, yani tusalli, with yani ya with kasra tusalli, yani the kasra, the last letter, tusalli, the last letter is omitted to indicate the verb being majzoom. It's majzoom because of la and nahiya. La tusalli, this is the prohibitive la. This is not la and nafiya, the negative la. This is the prohibitive la, which makes the mudari verb mansub. Sign that it's mansub is the omission of the last letter, the weak letter on the end of the verb. Salla yusalli. La tusalli. Anta. La tusalli. Al-fara'idha. The obligatory prayers fil bayt, in the house. And the last sentence. Lamma usalli al-asra. Lamma, here, the meaning of it is, it's like lam, it's negation of the mudari verb, changing the meaning to past tense. Except that with the ma, lam means, lam usalli, I didn't pray. Lamma usalli means I didn't pray yet. Lamma usalli al-asr. I didn't pray the asr prayer yet. So lamma and lam both are particles of negation that make the mudari verb majzoom. The sign that is majzoom is the omission of the last letter, the weak letter, yani from originally being usalli with kasra ya became usalli. Okay, so this is the end of yani introduction to the verb salla yusalli and salli, the fi'l amr. And now we go on to exercise number 18, which also is not an exercise that requires you to do anything except to study the names of the months of the year. Exercise number 18, page 38, lesson 3. هذه أسماء الشهور العربية. These are the names of the months. يعني شهور is one of the plurals of شهر. These are the names of the months of the Arabic months. The names of the Arabic months. So we're going down the right column first. Number one, Al-Muharramu. Two, Safarun. Three, Rabi'un Al-Awwalu. Rabi'un Al-Awwalu. And because Rabi'un is a proper noun, so all proper nouns are definite. Therefore, Al-Awwalu, the adjective, also has to be definite. Number four, Rabi'un Al-Akhiru. Yani the first Rabi'un and the last Rabi'un, or the second. Yani here literally the last. First and the last. Number five, Jumada Al-Ula. Same thing here. This Jumada is feminine, so yani the first is the feminine form Awwal, feminine form Ula. And we see number six, Jumada Al-Akhira. Same thing. Yani, the masculine form, al-akhir, the feminine form, al-akhira. So, we have Rabi', the first Rabi', and the last Rabi', and we have Jumada, the first Jumada, and the last Jumada. The first 6 months of the year. Yani, al-Muharram, Safa, Rabi', al-Awwal, Rabi', al-Akhir, sometimes referred to as al-Thani, and Jumada, al-Ula, and Jumada, al-Akhira. The seventh month, next column, Rajabun, eighth month, Sha'banu, with a single Dhamma, ninth month, Ramadanu, with a single Dhamma, indicating that it's Mamnu Min Asarf, doesn't take Tanween. Number 10, Shawwalun, with Shadda on the Waw, and the Fatha elongated by Aleph, Shawwalun, the month after Ramadan. And the last 2 months, the 11th and 12th month, Dhul Qa'adati and Dhul Hijjati. And Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah mentioned, you need to remember the correct spelling and pronunciation of these 2 months, that one of them is spelt with the first letter taking fatha, and the other one with the first letter taking kasra. So Dhul Qa'ada, not Qi'da, Dhul Qa'adati, and Dhul Hijjati, not Hajjati. Dhul Qa'adati with fatha, and Dhul Hijjati with kasra. The last 2 months of the Arabic calendar. Okay, again, this is just a matter of information, learning the names of the months of the Arabic months. Number 19 is an actual exercise, but relatively brief. Number 19 is an exercise dealing with the matter of the expression imma wa imma, meaning either or. Yani when you're talking about one of two things, either or, imma wa imma, either this wa imma or that. So the first example that they give us for this is al-ismu fi al-lughati al-arabiyyati imma mudhakkarun wa imma muannathun. Yani the noun in the Arabic language, imma mudhakkarun, is either masculine, wa imma muannathun, or feminine. The noun in the Arabic language is either masculine or feminine. Turning to page 39, the second example that they give us for imma wa imma is imma tazuruni wa imma azuruka. Either you visit me or I will visit you. The third example, Ibrahimu imma maridun wa imma musafirun. Ibrahim is either sick or he is traveling. Either he is sick or he is traveling. This either or is used in different ways. Sometimes it's a person is not sure, like either he's sick or traveling, I'm not really sure. Or it may be a choice. Either you visit me, I give you the choice. Either you visit me or I'll visit you. Or there are other meanings that it could have. But in any case, what is important here is to know that imma wa imma means either or. There's some work for this exercise. It says, adkhil imma fi thalathi jumalin min insha'ika. Yani, enter or use this expression imma wa imma and 3 sentences min in sha'ika, from yourself, yani that you make up. I'm sorry, I didn't see the question, but I see it now. It was 2 minutes ago in reference to the months of the year. Is it just something that is known that the word Rabi'a is a proper noun? Yeah, it's something that's known. And he's just like any other name, like Ahmed and Mahmoud. If a person is not familiar with Muslim names, they won't know that Ahmed is a proper noun, or Mahmoud is a proper noun, or Maryam is a proper noun, or Zainab is a proper noun, except that you just know it. And if there's nothing in the word itself that indicates that it's a proper noun. In fact, there are some proper nouns that are used as other than proper nouns as well. Okay, sometimes there are words, like for example, Ahmadullah. Ahmadu. Here is a verb. I am praising Allah. But Ahmed also can be used as a proper noun. It's a person's name. So the word being a proper noun or not being a proper noun is something that you know, yani just from being familiar with the word. It's not from the form itself that you know it's a proper noun. I hope that it makes it clear. The exercise 19, after looking at those examples, requires us to write 3 sentences that we make up from ourselves. And it's just a matter of, you know, using either or. Yani, for example, imma nala'abu wa imma nadhhabu ila al-hadiqati. Either we will play or we will go to the park. Imma nala'abu wa imma nadhhabu ila al-masjidi. Either we will play or we will go to the masjid. I think we'll go to the masjid. Another example, Ahmadu imma urubiyun wa imma amrikiyun. Yani Ahmed is either a European or he is an American. Mahmoodun imma afriqiyun wa imma يعني أمريكي. But he is either an African or he is an American. And so on, like this. Another example, like we had in this, in the examples that they gave us, يعني for the examples of this particular expression, we had الاسم في اللغة العربية إما مذكر وإما مؤنث. And we had previously in the introduction to this book 3, الاسم إما معرب وإما مبني. This is another example. يعني that the noun in Arabic language is either معرب وإما معرب وإما مبني. يعني it's either معرب, meaning its endings change. It changes from being منسوب مرفوع and مجروح, وإما مبني, or it is fixed. يعني its ending is fixed. It doesn't, its ending doesn't change. It's fixed on a particular vowel. يعني معرب means that its vowel ending changes, and مبني meaning that its vowel ending is fixed. And I shouldn't say يعني that مبني means that it doesn't change its إعراب, but the sign doesn't change. So it might be يعني مبني on فتح. It might be مبنيون on فتح, so it doesn't change from فتح even when it's in the place where it should be مرفون or منسوب or مجروح, but it's مبنيون. So the actual إعراب may change, but the sign of the إعراب is fixed. Okay, so that's another example. الاسم يعني في اللغة باللغة العربية إما معرب وإما مبني. Another example, إما نقرأ القرآن وإما نقرأ الحديث. Either we will read the Quran or we will read the Hadith. Okay, the next exercise is also just information. It doesn't require any work here. It's just a matter of paying attention to يعني this information. Exercise number 20 says الحرب with سكون on the ra. الحرب يعني war is a word that is مؤنثة. يعني this word الحرب is a feminine noun. تقول الحرب العالمية الأولى. So you say, for example, if you were describing it as here the first world war, الحرب العالمية. Here we see that they're not describing الحرب, يعني العالمية is feminine. الأولى is feminine. And that's because the word حرب, even though it doesn't have any feminine sign, indication of being feminine, is a feminine word. And likewise, you say, يعني الحرب العالمية الأولى, or you say الحرب العالمية الثانية. يعني the first world war or the second world war. Or you say الحرب الأهلية, يعني a national war, يعني a war that's taking place in a nation within itself. الأهلية, amongst themselves, amongst the family of the nation. Alright, that's exercise number 20. It's just information that the word الحرب is مؤنثة. And this is important for us to know. There are certain words like الشمس, which is مؤنث, even though it doesn't have any sign of being مؤنث, and so on. Exercise number 21 and exercise number 22 are يعني exercise is related to knowing words. يعني exercise number 21 is هاتي مضارع الأفعال الآتية. Give the present tense form of the following verbs. So it's a matter of knowing. They're giving us past tense verbs. We need to know the present tense verbs. And I always say in the beginning of our studies that when you learn a past tense verb, you should try to learn the present tense with it together. Okay, or at least try to remember its voweling. So هوا, the present tense مضارع verb, is يحوي. هوا, in the present tense, it takes a كسرة in the middle radical. هوا يحوي. Going across, لدغ يلدغ, takes فتح in the middle radical in the مضارع. لدغ يلدغ. Going down, قبض يقبض with كسرة. قبض, يعني with قاف and ضاد. قبض, يعني to grasp something, to take hold of someone. For example, to grasp them. قبض يقبض. نصب, going across. نصب with صاد. ينصب, يعني نصب, to set something up, to erect it. ينصب with كسرة. saraqa in the mudari, yasriqu with kasra. Salaba, yaslibu, salaba in the mudari, it takes kasra. Yaslibu, salaba means to crucify someone. Mana'a takes fatha in the mudari, yamna'u. And sarra in the mudari takes dhamma, yasurru, sarra, yasurru, to be happy. After this, exercise number 22 is also, yani knowing words, and here they're giving us a singular word and they want us to give us its plural. Hati jama'a al-asma'a al-atiyata. Jama'a al-asma'a jama'a al-asma'i al-atiyati. Give us the plural of the following words. Okay, so it's again, yani early on I tried to remind us that it's important when we learn a singular, a new word, try to learn its plural with it. Learn, when you learn a past tense verb, try to learn the present tense with it. When you learn a new word, try to learn its plural. Okay, and these things we can look up in the dictionary quite easily. Number 22. Hati jama al-asma' al-atiyati harbun hurubun, going across. Juhrun, yani a hole. It has several plurals from amongst them. Jiharatun, jiharatun, and another plural, ajharun. Going across, qa'idatun, any foundation of something or rule, qawa'idu, yani on the pattern of mafa'il, it's mamnu' min as-sarf, it doesn't take tanween. Qawa'id, qawa'idu, yani the plural is mamnu' min as-sarf. Second line, wathanun, yani something that is worshipped. Wathanun, that is, has its natural form like a tree or a stone or a mountain. Wathanun, it's plural, awthanun. Going across, dhambun, it's plural, dhunubun, sins. Jasusun, a spy, it's plural, jawasisu, with a single dhamma, mamnu' min as-sarf, on the pattern of mafa'ilu. Mafa'ilu. Third line, hidha'un, shoes, ahdiyatun is its plural, shahinatun, a truck, shahinatun, sound feminine plural, lissun, with shadda on the sad, lususun. The last line, deenun, its plural, adyanun. Malbasun, clothing, it's plural, malabisu, yani it's mamnu' min as-sarf on the pattern of mafa'il. Malabisu, with a single dhamma. Hadithun, it's plural, ahadithu, with a single dhamma, mamnu' min as-sarf as well. Alright, so these are yani singular words they gave us. We need to learn their plurals. Exercise number 23 is adkhil كل كلمة مما يأتي في جملة مفيدة. Use each of the words from what follows in a beneficial sentence, yani a complete sentence. Alright, so they gave us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words or expressions, and we have to use each one in a sentence, any kind of sentence, yani as long as it yani is a complete sentence. A jumla mufida means a complete sentence. Yani it should be complete with a mubtada and a khabar, or a fi'l and a fa'il, or fi'l and fa'il and maf'ul and bi. First word, salla, which means to pray, to perform prayer. Yeah, the first word is salla. Let's say, salla bina imamuna. Salla bina imamuna. Our imam led us in prayer. He performed prayer with us, yani as the imam. Saraqa means to steal. Saraqa al-lissu. Word we just had, al-liss, right? Thief. Saraqa al-lissu al-kitaba. The thief stole the book. Mana means to prevent or to prohibit something. Mana al-mudiru at-tullaba min al-khuruji. The headmaster or the principal mana prohibited, prevented the students from exiting al-khuruj, min al-khuruj. Surra means to be made happy. Mabniyan lil-majhul. Surra al-waladu. The boy was made happy. Al-harbu, war. Qutila, kathirun min al-nasi fil-harb. Many people have been killed in war. Mu'azam means most of something, the majority of something, most of it. Mu'azam. Naam. Ja'a mu'azamu an-nasi ila salati. Mu'azam an-nasi. Most of the people, ja'a, came to the salat. يعني في المسجد ابن كذا وكذا سنة يعني the son of such and such years or يعني meaning a person's age the son of meaning they have so many years in age هو ابن سبعين سنة he is the son of 70 years meaning he is 70 years old. Alright, so this is just yani, some of the words that we had in this lesson, understanding, remembering how to use them in complete sentences, yani jumla mufida. Exercise number 24 doesn't really require anything except, again, paying attention. A lot of these exercises are just information that of matters that came in this lesson and understanding yani, if there's a grammatical rule related to them. So exercise number 24 on the bottom of page 39 says, في ثلا يعني في in the word ثلاثمية in this word ثلاثمية loves ميتين in this word ثلاثمية or ثلاثمية or ثلاثميةٍ is the expression ميتين يعني this expression مية in this number 300 is مجرور بالإضافة يعني in ثلاثميةٍ the expression mia is majrur bil idafa. It's majrur because it is yani due to idafa, yani because it's mudafun ilayhi. Amma thalath, the first part of the number 3, fayu'rabu bihasabi al-amil. So its i'rab is in accordance with whatever is acting upon it. So this type of number 300, 400, 500, 600, the first part of the number, its i'rab is going to be according to what is acting upon it. Is it the object of a verb? Is it the object of a preposition? Is it the mubtada or khabar? And so on. Ism inna, that's what's going to determine its i'rab. Is it going to be marfoon or mansub or majrur? It could be any one of them. The second part of the number though, miyatin, is always due to idafa, is always going to be mudafun ilayhi, majrur. Alright, so, let's look at page 40 where it says, for example, and they give us three examples, alif, ba, and jim. The first example, عندي ثلاثمائة ريال. With me, or I have 300 reals. هنا ثلاث, the first part of the number ثلاث is مرفوع لأنه مبتدع, because it is the مبتدع. عندي is the خبر مقدم, the advanced خبر, and ثلاثمائة is the مبتدع مؤخر, يعني the مبتدأ that is delayed. Okay? ثلاثو مية. So ثلاثو is مرفون because it is the مبتدأ. B. با. أريد ثلاثة مئة ريال. I want 300 reals. هنا ثلاثة with فتة is منصوب لأنه مفعول ب. أريد ثلاثة. يعني ثلاثة is the مفعول ب of أريد. So it's منصوب with فتة. جيم. The third example. اشتريت هذه الساعة بثلاثمائة ريال. I purchased this watch for 300 reals. هنا ثلاثي with كسرة is مجرور بالباء because of the preposition ب. بثلاثمائة. So here we see that the first part of the number for hundreds, 300, 400, 500, whatever, first part of the number, its i'rab is based on its position in the sentence, its function in the sentence. Is it mubtada, then marfu'un, maf'ulun bi would be mansub, yani the object of a preposition would be majrur. So this is something that we need to know about the numbers for the hundreds, right? The first part of the number, it's i'rab, maybe marfu'un, mansub, or majrur. The second part is always going to be mudhafun ilayhi, majrur. وَمِثْلُ ثَلَاثِ مِيَةٍ, and like of this, yani these examples that we have for ثَلَاثَ مِيَةٍ, أَخَوَاتُهَا are the same. أَرْبَعُ مِيَةٍ وَخَمْسُ مِيَةٍ up to تِسْعِ مِيَةٍ, all of them are the same. The first part of the number, its i'rab depends on its function in the sentence, what is acting upon it, and the second part of the number, because of idhaf, is always going to be مضاف إليه مجرور. So the exercise here is to read correctly. اقرأ الأعداد فيما يلي قراءة صحيحة. Read the numbers and what follows with a correct reading, particularly emphasizing the reading of the numbers, the hundreds numbers. Okay, so to give us five sentences, I'm going to read each one, paying careful attention to the hundreds numbers. Okay, number one. في هذا الكتاب خمسمائة صفحة قرأت منها أربع مئة صفحة. So the first hundredth number is خمسو مئة, and that's because في هذا الكتاب خمسو مئة, يعني خمسو here, خمسو مئة is the مبتدا مؤخر, it's a delayed مخبر, delayed مبتدا, so it's مرفوع with ضمة. في هذا الكتاب, يعني جاء المجرور is the شبه جملة, يعني خبر مقدم. في هذا الكتاب خمسمائة صفحة. So the original form of this sentence is خمسمائة صفحة, 500 pages are in this book. So خمس here is مبتدا مرفوع with ضمة. قرأت منها أربع مائة صفحة. أربع with فتح. I read from it, from the, يعني from these 500 pages of this book, I read 400 pages. Here, arba'a with fatta is the maf'ulun bi, mansub with fatta, the maf'ulun bi of qara'atu. Arba'a mi'ati safhatin minha. Sentence number two. Thamanu at-tazkirati tis'u mi'ati dolarin. The price of the ticket is 900 riyals. Thamanu التذكيرتي, the price of the ticket is 900 دولار. Here ثمنو is the مبتدا, التذكيرتي is مضاف إليه مجرور, and 9 is the خبر مرفوع with ضمة. 900 دولار. Number 3. اشتريت هذا السوار ب700 جنيه. يعني I purchased this السوار, يعني this bracelet. اشتريت هذا السوار بسبعي with كسرة, سبعي مئتي جنيه. I purchased it for 700 pounds, جنيه. In this sentence, اشتريت is the فعل and the فاعل, هذا is the مفعول بي, مبني في محل نصب, السوار is the بدل for هذا, so it's also منسوب with فتح. And B سبعي, يعني B is حرف جاء, سبعي is اسم مجرور, and مئتي is مضاف إليه مجرور, and جنيه is also يعني مضاف to مئتي مجرور. Number 4. يدرس في هذه الكلية ستع with ضمة, ستع مئتي طالب. يدرس في هذه الكلية ستع مئتي طلاب, يعني there are 600 students studying in this college or this faculty. So here, يعني يدرس is the فعل, and ستو is the فاعل مرفوع with ضمة. يعني يدرس ستو مئتي طالب في هذه الكلية. That's the original form of the sentence. يدرس ستو مئتي. Who is studying? 600 students. So ستو is the فاعل مرفوع with ضمة, مئتي is مضاف إليه مجرور, and طالب is مضاف to مئة, يعني مضاف إليه مجرور. نعم. Number 5. جئت إلى المدينة المنورة والنبوية ama arba'a miyati wa alfin lil hijra. Ama arba'i miyatin, yani arba'i with kasra. Jitu ila al madinati al munawwarati ama arba'i miyatin wa alfin lil hijrati. I came to al madina in the year of 1400 of the Hijra, 1400 of the Hijra calendar. And here, yani arba'i is taking kasra, it's majrur because it is mudaf ilayhi for ama. Ama arba'i, the year of 400 and 1000 of the Hijra. So arba'i miyatin, yani mudaf ilayhi majrur. And the last part of this lesson in the few minutes that remain, the last exercise of this lesson is just a reading exercise, and it's a reminder of what we had in the English key when we talked about the ism jins jama'i. In the English key we talked about the ism jins al-jama'i. And it would be worthwhile, I would think, yani, to go back to this discussion in the English key. It's a good lengthy discussion with a lot of examples. It's point number 9 of the English key on page 22. Yani ism jins al-jam'i, the generic plural noun. And they give several examples that are similar to the examples here, but the explanation is more detailed. Okay, so this is the Arabic explanation of the ism jins jam'i, the plural generic noun. Yani ism is noun, jins is generic, and it deals with a whole type or group or species. And jam'i, yani, means plural. Plural, generic noun. So they gave us the word al-yahud, and they said yahud is ismu jinsin jam'iyun. Jam'iyun is a not describing ismun. And jins is mudaf ilayhi majrur. Ismu jinsin jam'iyun. Wa ismu al-jinsi al-jama'iyu, and the generic the plural generic noun, huwa alladhi yufraqu baynahu wa bayna wahidihi bil-ya'i aw at-ta'i. So the plural generic noun, or the generic plural noun, is that which you distinguish, or it is distinguished. Yufraqu, yani mabni lil-majhul. It is distinguished, or there's a distinction, بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ وَاحِدِهِ, yani distinction between the generic plural noun and one individual item from that group, or that jins, or that type, or that species. The distinction between this type of plural and one singular item from the group, yani what distinguishes them is ya or ta marbuta. Is ya or ta marbuta. So either one of these two things will formulate the singular individual item from this, yani, generic plural noun, or plural generic noun. Okay, so one way to distinguish the singular is by, yani, it will be distinguished by a ya added to the end of it with shadda. And the other way is distinguished by adding ta marbuta to the original plural word. Okay, so examples, amthilatu al-ifradi bitta, examples of its singular being formed by ya, bil-ya'i, is yahud, means the Jewish people as a whole, and yahudi is one individual Jewish person. Arabun is the Arabs as a whole, yani is the generic plural noun. And Arabiyun, with shadda, ya with shadda added to the end, is an individual Arab, or an Arabian person. Rumun are the Romans as a whole, and Rumiyun is an individual Roman person. Turkun are the Turks, the Turkish people as a whole, and Turkiyun is an individual Turkish person. Inkiliziyun, or Inkilizun, yani means the English people, yani the British English people as a whole. Inkilizi. And the individual British person, an English man, an individual brings her, is Inkiliziyun, with Shadda. So the generic plural is Inkilizun. Naam. And the individual one is Inkiliziyun. Okay, so this is the first type of generic plural is distinguished from an individual member of the group by adding ya with shadda, and this should not be confused with the ya with shadda that indicates attribution or ascription that we had previously. So pay attention that both of these words end with ya with shadda. From the context, you know that it means an individual from a group of a generic plural, or it means yani attribution or ascription. The second type is the individual, one item from the group or from the species or from the type, is formulated by adding ta marbuta, amthilatu al-ifradi bitta. Any examples of the singular form being formulated with ta is samakun, means fish in general, and samakatun means one individual piece of fish. Shajarun means trees in general, the species trees, and Shajaratun means an individual, one tree. Tufahun means apples as a whole, and Tufahatun means a single apple. Ainabun means grapes overall, and Ainabatun means one single grape. Mauzun means bananas as a whole, and Mauzatun means a single banana. Habbun means seeds or grains, and Habbatun means an individual seed or one single grain. And this is the end of this lesson. And even though we covered a lot of exercises today, keep in mind a lot of these exercises were just information that you had to read and try to remember and retain any for understanding, but any didn't really require some work to be done. I hope, inshallah, that this lesson that we've finally completed, I think in 4 weeks, I hope that any we have benefited from it, from the primary points and well as well from the secondary points, as we go on to a new, completely new topic in lesson 4, inshallah, tomorrow. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll be sending out homework assignment for lesson number 4. You can't start on your own tonight. It's still early in the day. Plenty of time left to start reading the English key for lesson number 4. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani for myself and for each of you, that he grant us the tawfiq, the success, to do whatever we do, yani, to do whatever we do of good deeds that we're seeking his pleasure by means of, that we do them correctly according to the authentic sunnah, and that we do them sincerely with ikhlas from our hearts for the sake of Allah alone, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognize, record, and reward each of those deeds, and that, on the other hand, that he pardon and forgive and overlook our shortcomings, mistakes, errors, and sins, and that he keep us firm, yani grant us al-thabat, steadfastness and firmness upon his sirat al-mustaqim until yani the end of our term in this world, and we'll return to him in a condition of being pleased with him and pleasing to him. Ameen.